Wednesday, December the 17th, 349th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, former Chair Rex Bone.
Yeah, my first day as a free man.
Yeah. So we'll talk about what freedom means, what it doesn't mean, what the holidays mean, what it doesn't mean, and a couple new department heads jumping on board at the first of the year. And we'll talk about what that may portend also.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Bernard Shaw. The greatest thing in life is to die young, but delay it as long as possible. Yeah. And don't do it in public.
No.
All right. You've been following the Warriors at all?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of a...
I loved that guy when he played. I loved that guy when he played for the Bulls. I always thought he was the little guy out there just doing his thing, and now he's turned out to be a hell of a coach. He says all the right things, he does all the right things, and he's getting the most out of everybody on that court.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Short, fat guy talking about basketball.
Yeah, like that, you know, no, that's all right. He's a shorty too. He's only what, 6'5"?
I had a great I always love that you talk about that. He was a short guy out there, and then he was 6'5".
Oh,
Spud Webb, he's not.
So what was it like to be the chair for the year? Was it fun?
You know, it opens a lot of insight into the workings, because the biggest thing is you sign all the documents every day after the meeting and all the things you vote on. And you know, the consent calendar is very long. It's contractual. It's all the different things. And so you get to, you obviously don't read all 800 pages, but you peruse them, you see what's going on, and then you sign them as the chair. So you've got that. You've got some other responsibilities. You have the agenda reviews and things like that. So it was, and then you've got the management of the meetings. And I know I've been told that I'm a little lighthearted up there, I guess would be the word. And I guess I am, but I don't think any of us are here for a long time. So I figured I'm going to be as lighthearted as possible. It's very serious business, but it's the way you approach it, I guess.
Lots of different things are out there, and I would imagine that a lot of us don't appreciate the tonnage. You get it, then you filter it, then the soups get it, then they filter it, then we get it, and we filter it. You know, so by the time we have anything that's halfway usable, it's probably 5-10% of total information that is made available. How do you deal with that?
You know, and you're exactly right. I found out, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I found out something that I had never realized about, you know, our county government, because I haven't perused it long enough and found out the source and everything else. But little things like that, you're exactly right. And I don't think the people need to hear all the gory details, but I think they should hear all the details as possible that's pertinent to the operation of the county for their means and for our means. And it's a big moving part. It absolutely amazes me. I've kind of got over the shock of going, we do that, we have that, you know. But I mean we test oysters every day for their, you know, we've got a lab that tests the oysters, and I knew that just because I know a lot of the farmers and stuff, but I just thought it was rather interesting that all the myriad of things that we do to make sure that the county runs as efficiently as possible and as safely as possible for the people that live here.
Would Rex 18 months ago been as happy to know of all the things that the county does, or would he have been going on a machete rampage looking to clean things out?
Oh, I'll be the first to tell you. I went in there over the first week and says, man, we got to cut this, 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 and this. And then I realized that the amount of that it affects and the people it affects and the vastness of everything we do on a needs basis, basically to run, make things run, even, you know, little things like the involvement we have with Pacific Gas and Electric and the water providers and stuff like that, because we're so intertwined on so many different levels. It's a learning curve. It's a huge learning curve, and it's eye opening. I appreciate living here, you know, for 55 years. I've got a pretty good idea of all the players involved that have seen a lot of this stuff happen. You know, institutional knowledge, as limited as mine may be, has been very helpful to me, because I've got a whole Rolodex of, and I still use a Rolodex. I use a book of people I can call and ask things, and I'm not afraid to ask a lot of questions, so I can at least get, not necessarily hear the answer I want to hear, but hear the answer that I feel is correct.
So is it a spider nest or a spider web nest where if you cut one thing, there may be an unintended consequence that is the hesitation, or just that you have to cut so much before you got any kind of real positive impact from it that then you start getting into areas that you don't want?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, there's so much that the trickle down effect, if you try to cut in one area, it creates so much problems in another area that what have you qualified? What have you basically qualified? And we're suffering some huge needs, you know, mental health, jobs. I mean, we there's so many needs that it doesn't seem like we're getting anything done sometimes. I mean, the lay people out there, and I, you know, and not to downplay, we don't toot our successes enough, maybe, so people don't know if there are any successes, and it tends to flash back on us.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Bone. Rex, is the challenges are there. Measure Z hasn't settled yet, I know. As Fred Nelson pointed out in his comment a couple weeks ago, there's not enough time, you know, and there was not language written into the piece that said, here's how the committee's going to be formed, here's how we're going to do it, and then something that folks could vote on. We kind of joke about the shark swimming, looking for the money. Are you surprised that there are as many? Are you surprised that there aren't more out there trying to either position themselves on the committee, getting your good graces for the appointment, wanting to have the bucks come their way because somehow they draw that connection and the dots between the money bags and their department or their special service or whatever it is, and how the community benefits with law enforcement somehow in that combination?
Well, you know, I think Measure Z did happen quick, and because we got hit up with some insurance, we just got hit with a lot of bills or a lot of costs coming in. And since it has to go to a general election, we didn't know if we could wait longer. So we tried to get the message out to the people. We tried to do a ballot statement that understood. And I've said this last month, and I'll say it again. Our biggest chore now is to convince the 45% of the people that didn't vote for it that it was the right thing.
Well, there's only one way to do that.
And that's,
demonstrate it.
You're exactly right. And I think as we went through with our committee the other day, our task force, I mean, at the end of the day, the burden of allocating the Measure Z funds is going to come down to the board. But we're going to have a 9-member, you know, committee that's going to help us and guide us and maybe, you know, cipher through some of the bureaucracy of it and everything else. But at the end of the day,
we deal with the first wave.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, you made a very good statement. The understanding most people get is it's for badges and boots. And that's, you know, sheriff deputies out in the rural area. I mean, this came out of the MCS, you know, the McKinneyville Advisory Committee, and a big meeting we had in Redway about delay in services of getting sheriffs up there. And Sheriff Downey has made some great strides. He's just put a lieutenant back up in the McKinleyville office. That's a huge move. They're going to be managing that office up there, and that's huge. And we're looking at putting another resident deputy in Garberville, I believe he was talking about. I mean, things like that that the rural community expects and deserves, rightfully so.
Well, Matt Harvey was in, and he said that they got, CHP got somebody for 96 and somebody for 36 with some grant that Adam and Brett had been able to put together also. So there'll be a couple more, I think, starting the first of the month.
I don't think our community sits back. We look back and look at the California Highway Patrol and the big statewide organization they are. But I don't think people realize how lucky we are is to have Commander Yeager and Commander Fabre down in Garberville. We've got two local boys, I mean, local graduates of high school, elementary school, and everything right here. Their families are here and everything else, running these departments. I mean, because when you bring something up to them, they understand it. They know it. They've got the knowledge. They didn't transfer up here out of L.A. or something else.
Yeah,
like
the learning
that.
Curve doesn't exist.
No,
it's there.
And they're committed to the. They're committed. The cooperation I get from the California Highway Patrol out in Cutton, Lolita, those areas I've got. When I ask them, I said, hey, we've got a problem. The speed, and they're out there. They react. And I don't think we can be thankful enough. And the CHP and Southern Humboldt, what they do, and they help respond to so many of our calls in the outlying areas. We're just fortunate to have the two guys we do run in the areas. And they work very well with our sheriff's department and I know with the local law enforcement.
How are you going to determine your guy or gal on this committee, the one that you get from the first?
I want to have somebody that's got a pretty distinct financial knowledge. I mean, that has some, you know,
budget
has some
savvy.
Budget savvy. Very, very, very budget savvy, that understands, you know, even though you pay somebody $70,000 a year, they're a $125,000 item by the time you pay all their buy. And so all this is put into perspective, and somebody that's somewhat rural, that lives out, you know, out and understands those needs. Understands their fire departments, understands, you know, public safety to a certain extent.
So you're looking like a Petrolia kind of guy rather than a Cutting kind of guy.
Yeah,
I mean, profile.
Put me between Petrolia and Cutting, and maybe I'll be somewhere in there. You know, maybe Ferndale, maybe Lolita, maybe
Cannibal,
you know,
Island.
You know, Cannibal Island. Yeah, but I mean, somebody that's got a pretty good financial, pretty even keeled. Somebody that got some not excess time on their hands, but somebody that will be committed to the process. Because a lot of people raise their hand and then realize, man, this is going to happen quick, and it's two meetings a week. I've got to come in, and you know, but somebody's committed to the product and actually shows some desire that wants to do it. And I've had some great phone calls from people,
Have you been pleasantly surprised?
I've been really surprised. I've been really and very pleasantly surprised. People wanting to step up and help. And I mean, I think the other, you know, Ryan was saying he's had 9 or 10 or 12 people. Our clerk has started sending out applications to people that want to get in on it, because this is a quick process, because it's, you know, our budget hearings. We want to make this happen.
Yeah, compressed time frame.
It's a compressed time frame. So that also puts the burden on them to operate real quick and give us a finished product quicker than we may expect from some of our other. And throw in there another community commission that's volunteer, and people are stepping up to help their community.
It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, last week we were all battening down hatches and getting ready for, anywhere from the 10-year biggest storm to the 60-year biggest storm. And I'm thinking, okay, we don't have snowpack in the mountains. That takes care of the flooding part. Wind is always the nasty one for us because, you know, you get things loose and then things start moving around an awful lot. How loaded for bear was the county?
Well, I got, last Friday, I got quite a few emails, not quite a few, but a few emails, phone calls. There's, what happened? Nothing happened. But I was down in Sacramento a week ago today and coming back, and it was pretty bad in the Lake County coming through Mendocino. There were road closures. There was some pretty serious stuff happened south to us. The weather pattern moved. I kind of say it was that we brought it forth because Dan Larkin's retiring in a couple of days, and we wanted to have one big event for him. But I think I can't, you know, we've all said what a great job Dan has, and we're state recognized, our county, for being prepared because we get faced
with all the earthquakes.
We get earthquakes. Yeah. We get the potential for tsunamis, and we get the potential for floods. So we have a lot of issues. But Dan's got us over-prepared, and I told somebody, I said, you can be over-prepared for a disaster and scale back, but you can't be underprepared and scale up. And so the wind pattern moved. They got the rain in other places. We're going to be 6 feet under. You know, I think we were 5 to 6 feet under the what they predicted.
Yeah, the flooding warning stage.
I think it was 18 feet or 14. I think, and I don't remember, but it didn't get to be an issue.
One of the guys here lives in the southern part of Humboldt County said, yeah, kind of looks like the old days with water in the river during the wintertime.
Yeah, and it's,
like, okay, and no, you get some rocks on the road.
It was kind of funny. I was watching national news, and one of the guys came on, and he was saying he was watching excerpt from California news, and the weatherman was excitedly, breathlessly saying this is going to be the biggest rain event in over half a decade. And the guy's thinking 50 years, and he goes, that's 5 years, and they've been suffering a drought for seven. Yeah. Okay, but the guy was breathless with the, you know, yeah. and they were making fun of the guy in a roundabout way. But, you know, the other aspect to look into this is we were prepared. I've got a, and we pulled out the hatches. I got to give a big shout out to, and a thank you to Mercer Fraser Company. I was talking to Jay Parrish, the city manager in Ferndale, and he was talking about they were looking for more sand and
bags.
And they donated 8 loads of sand to the Eel River Valley to be loaded, and they got the seas down there to load them up with the shovels and everything. And talking to Justin from Mercer Fraser, he mentioned that he had a sandbag machine that he'd bought 3 years ago for a big job, and it's just sitting there, self-contained. So talking to Jay, I was in Sacramento, but I called Justin, would you deliver it out to the fairgrounds? Because that was the area, the Eel River Valley central point. The seas went out there, and they went from 1,000 bags to 5,000 bags a day with this automated machine and thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Jeff Farley, the former mayor, called me and says, I didn't know they made these things. And I says, yeah, they do. And Mercer Fraser is going to allow the fairgrounds or the OES to keep it at the fairgrounds till the winter is over in case there's another event. And the problem being is it does not take a lot for Port Kenyon, Ambrosini Lane, and a lot of those low at Coffee Creek for those areas to flood, so they are always in need of sandbags.
So that better place, what better place to have it sit there?
Centrally located, yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to thank, you know, that's the nice thing about living in a small area. You know, Mercer Fraser steps up. They've been here for 141 years, I think, but they stepped up to help the community. No charge for the machine or anything. I'm going to push the no charge so he doesn't think he's billing us. But Justin allowed it to happen. So, you know, Tom Mattson says we've got to find a way to recognize him. I guess that's what I'm doing right now. But it was a win-win for us for a private, you know.
The
bronze bag award.
Ferndale, you can choose to put inside the bag whatever you would like that might be deemed appropriate from Ferndale.
Yeah. No, and they were, you know, Jay was so appreciative and everybody at the fairgrounds, and it just worked out real well. And, I mean, that's what happens in these events. Everybody steps up to help. I mean,
and people know what to do. It's not running around screwy.
No,
everybody's gone through it half a dozen times.
No, and I just, you know, we're looking at our 50-year anniversary of the 64 flood, and there's all the periodicals are doing a little bit of
the flashback.
Yeah, they're doing the flashback and everything else. And I always look at getting, you know, I called Tony Leonardo to haul a couple loads of sand since it was donated, and I always, the one of the pictures that ended up, I think, on the Chronicle or whatever, was the picture of his dad waving a white towel on the roof of his house. He chopped a hole in his roof, and he's sitting on the roof waving a towel, and him and the neighbors were in the house for 3 days, and they had to come in with a helicopter and get them out. And I mean, that was an iconic photo from the 64 flood. So that was, it was kind of funny. 50 years later, we're still dealing with too much water in the Eel River Valley.
Yeah, what a stunner.
But what I really enjoyed is that the afternoon that the rain started, I did have a drought task force meeting. So I,
you know, that one of the questions that I had, and I don't know if it was a national comment. I think it was a national commentator, but it was somebody out of the Bay Area or Sacramento. Oh well, even, this is only going to, this is only 1%. It's not going to be enough. Don't worry. You know, immediately dismissing it. And then we got the press release from Carroll saying that Ruth was up to capacity.
15th earliest time it has been filled.
Yeah, so it's loaded. The lakes over in the valley are getting a little bit more.
They're getting a little bit more. And I know they picked
down,
up. Yeah.
But they're getting more. But my concern was now that there's a state drought task force, the bureaucratization of drought. Will we ever get out of drought as far as the state of California is concerned? Will we ever get away from that stuff? Are we going to keep building into the valley and into the desert and saying, gee, we don't have enough water here. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my.
We're still in a drought. And I kind of like, you know, last week it came out in the news that this wasn't man-made. This current drought was not man-made. It was a weather cycle. They're not saying that man-made, you know, has it created a problem, but this was a...
Washington, D.C. wasn't saying that it was something we caused.
Yeah. So it was a pretty good intensive research that showed this is just one of those cyclical weather patterns that we've been suffering. And I know we've suffered them in the 70s, the 40s, since we've started keeping records. But I think, and the big push now is, it's kind of funny, we're going in January, we're going to a meeting, is groundwater. And what we have to be careful,
which is the expansion in the valley pulling out of the aquifers.
We've got a problem with, we've got a problem up here is we don't have it looks like we don't have a groundwater problem. I mean, Eel River Valley, we've got 50 years, one of the well drillers has 50 years of reports that shows our groundwater follows the Eel River almost exactly. I mean, it's
the fluctuations,
the levels. I mean, because they're building and extending wells and everything else. It's almost verbatim. So we're not pumping enough up to contract. We're not getting, we're not receding our land value as we take the water out. It's not sinking, as a lot of places in the valley are. I mean, they're showing 6-8 inch drops and stuff like that. So it is a serious issue down there. We just don't have that same problem. And what Hank Seaman from our Public Works Natural Resource Division is he's putting this whole paper together along with Bob Vogt, showing that we don't have this problem because groundwater rules are going to come. Statewide groundwater rules are being enacted. Just like all the other state rules, air quality and everything
else. Based on the L.A. Basin.
Based on the L.A. Central Valley Basin. And what we have to do is our little 130,000 up here have to suffer the ills of the 25 million down there that are depleting the resources and not doing as well as we are on maintaining the levels.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, with all the stuff that's going on out there and the frustrations that many of us have with being at the end of the tail for the state of California, and you know, we just kind of get whipsawed. With water, why not have these people down there build dams, build lakes, container units, whatever the phrase is, so that they become independent rather than reliant on us, reliant on the Colorado, reliant on everybody else as they continue to overpopulate desert area. I mean, that to me just seems asinine, and it's continuing to occur.
Well, I think, you know, they've got places lined out, you know, environmentally less invasive reservoir areas, you know, through the Central Valley, you know, Butte, those places over there and stuff like that. Doug LaMalfa, the congressman from that area, is pushing. This water bond has got $3 billion towards storage. You know, and when you say that $3 billion, 2.7, or, you know, the number escapes me right now, but it's a good-sized number for this reservoir storage. That is a huge thing. But the other aspect of that is we need to deal with these people locally, our local people, rural and stuff. We need to work with them so they can put 20 or 40,000 gallons of storage on their properties, work with them locally, because right now, through the roof water, through any type of these drainage effects that you could have taken, or actually even taken it out of the creeks when they're overflowing to the point of, you know, bringing it out December to, you know, April or what, instead of pumping them in August, we could pull this water out and have this water available for gardening, you know, for all these other aspects.
Does the county have that in the general plan that you guys
are
wrestling with?
Yeah, we're working on water storage. Estelle's been working on it. I've been Sanctuary Forest down in Garville has a great program. They've been putting 50,000-gallon storage units out for people, helping get them installed, and then doing a 15-year payback, you know.
So this isn't a use permit. This is just getting folks thinking about it?
It's water storage is, I think there's been more water tanks sold, you know, and, you know, it's not all of it's not going to the big elephant in the room for marijuana in August and September. Some of this is going towards people that have lived in the hills for years and realize that they have to change their habits, and they are changing their habits. A lot of them have already done it. But putting in the pads, and we're trying to work with the assessor to make sure, you know, these people that are doing this, making these improvements, these are water improvements. These are enhancements to the rivers. These are great enhancements. Let's work with these people as much as possible to stimulate that thought.
Thanks for coming by. Oh, former chairman.
I want to wish everybody.
Hey, when do the new guys get sworn in? Is that January 1 or
January,
the first meeting?
Yeah, first Tuesday, I think it's January
6th,
I believe. Yeah.
I know, you don't have to worry about it. You just have to show up.
I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the holidays. And
Merry
I hope
Christmas,
everybody
dude.
Has a great holiday.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.